scripture text, our New Testament reading for today comes from Hebrews chapter 11. We find ourselves in a passage written to people in transition, people facing a challenge of persecution. But the words that the author of Hebrews provides to them are relevant to all of us as we face the different challenges and transitions in life, and we wonder, how can I know if I can trust what God has set before me? How can I know if God is truly with me? How can I know if He is going to protect me? Our reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 8, and we read these words. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that you have called those to go before us faithfully, including Abraham. And today, Lord, as we meditate on these words, would you encourage each of us as we look forward to this new academic year, that we would be strengthened by your promises and encouragement, by the presence of your Spirit, who does indeed carry us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, you may have seen, I couldn't help but catch it because it kept coming up again and again in my news feed. There was a story of Malek Bonet, a Canadian teenager. And like many of us, he was just going about his everyday normal business. He was getting off shift as a cook at a restaurant. And he happened to be waiting for the bus, and he saw this couple arguing quite violently. He felt concerned, so he walked over to them to see if he could help, to see if there was anything that he could do. And the couple said that what they really needed was money for a bus fare. But he said as he looked into the woman's eyes, he could see that she was saying, "Please don't leave, help me." And being quick thinking and on his feet rapidly to action, what he did is he gave them a bus fare, but he said, "Oh, I need to go that direction on the bus as well." And so he got on the bus with them and started to plot out how he could deal with the situation that he was starting to piece together, that this woman was not with this gentleman who wasn't, perhaps we should say, a gentleman at all, but a kidnapper, how he could help this woman escape. Finally, he had an idea. He suggested to the couple that he would like to buy them dinner. And so he encouraged them to stop partway to their destination and get off at a restaurant. And he excused himself for a moment and called the police. When the police arrived, indeed, his intuition was correct. The woman had been held against her will. And thanks to his quick thinking action, his sense of call to act and to help, she could be rescued from her ex-boyfriend who was abusively carrying her off. In the interviews afterwards, people are asking Malek, "Do you see yourself as a hero? Because this is amazing." And they repeated to him what he'd accomplished, and indeed he was found himself sort of in awe at what had been accomplished, that he had saved a woman's life. And yet he said humbly, I don't want to be seen as a hero. I just want to be seen as an ordinary guy." Well, he was an ordinary guy, perhaps, but an ordinary guy who was attuned to the calling before him and acted. And because he acted, he saved someone's life. But during the process, as he was going through it, he may have wondered if it would really work. He may have wondered what was going to happen to himself. What will happen if he gets on this bus with this man who very well could be dangerous? And yet he trusted and acted faithfully. Because of that, the woman was rescued. Friends, I think oftentimes for ourselves as well, we find it's a challenge. Perhaps today as you're sitting here, you're thinking about the challenges of a new academic year and you wonder, can I really get through this? Maybe you're feeling at peace right now, but as your syllabi start to come in over the next few days, you'll start to think, Can I get through this? When we think those thoughts, when we feel that way, we're called to look at the faithful people that God has led before us and to trust in his promises, to trust that he continues to lead, that he is leading us as well. That God's promise that his spirit wasn't just present for someone like Abraham thousands of years ago, but it continues to be present for us today. That's what we find in this passage. We find that God calls us to go without knowing all the details. We look at the story of Abraham here. If we look back at verse 8, we read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." I don't know about you. Maybe you've had a friend sometime stop you and say, "Hey, come with me, I want to show you something." What do we usually ask? "Where are we going? What do you want to show me?" We don't usually like to just set off, especially on a long journey, if we don't know what lies ahead of us. Here was Abraham. He uprooted himself from his entire life, from his family. He took his wife, Sarah, and headed off to a place he didn't know. Sure, God was speaking to him directly. Most of us don't have the luxury of God saying, "Go here." That would often be nice. But even think about that for a moment. Think about for a moment, even if sitting here today was something where you felt that God had made it very clear directly, sit here, how you could start to second guess yourself, especially if you had to travel hundreds of miles without a car to get there. That's the sort of journey Abraham was on, and he went forward because he trusted in God. Can you imagine going to a strange land, not just to another city, but to a different country, without any kind of paperwork to guide you there, only having the promise that God had called you? We see that in Abraham's life, God had promised him that he would make a great nation, that he would turn Abraham's descendants into a nation that would bless the entire world. But as Abraham set off, he didn't have a child, and he didn't think he would. He simply trusted. He simply trusted that if God said it would be true, then it would be true, and so he went. He couldn't see ultimately how his descendants could bless the whole world. He didn't see that God had in mind ultimately the incarnation, the presence of God himself in the form of Jesus to dwell amongst us. He simply knew that God had promised, and so he went. When we're at the beginning of something that we feel called to do, and that may be very true for most of you here today, most of you, I assume, are part of our freshman class, and so you're at the beginning of a journey here at Lindenwood, it can be sort of like being at the beginning of the baseball season. For those of you who aren't here from around St. Louis, you may be starting to discover that baseball is pretty important to us here in St. Louis, just a little bit. Cardinals Nation, yeah. Hopefully we don't have too many Cubs fans here that aren't redeemable by conversion. But what happens at the beginning of the baseball season? Well, we start out, and inevitably here in St. Louis, we're hopeful for another postseason, another exciting October, and then things happen. Things get in the way of the plans. I started just going through my head, making a list of the players who have been injured in the last few months, players that we were counting on as being key to that success, players like Adam Wainwright, John Jay, Matt Adams, Matt Holliday. You start to think, how many players can we lose and keep going? We realize that when we're at the beginning of something, we often don't know fully where it's going, and that can be kind of scary. We don't know the twists and turns. All we can do is trust. That's what the Cardinals have to do. They have to trust that their manager and the other coaches and so on are going to be able to piece together another winning season despite the injuries. So far, it looks good. But what do we do? Maybe you're not really sure where you're headed today as you prepare to start your new semester here at Lindenwood. Some of you might know what you want to study, but you're not really clear what you're going to do with it. Others of you might not really know what you even want to study. You're undeclared on your major listing on your transcript. You think, what is God going to do with my life? Where is my life going to go as I start this journey? Oftentimes, God doesn't tell us right away. Just like Abraham, he calls us to go out of our comfort zone. We see that in verse 9. It says, by faith he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Think about that for a moment. He uprooted himself from his home to go live in a tent, become a nomad, a man really without a country, a man without a home. And we talk a lot about the issues of being an outsider, being an immigrant today. But it was nothing like back then. To go into a strange land where people had different customs, people had different relationships with their families, and the tightness of the tribes and the clans that you would be going into put Abraham and his loved ones in danger. This wasn't at all an easy transition. It was, for as hard as it is today, even harder to go into a strange land. And very little would be thought if something were to happen to him. But he trusted. He trusted in verse 10 we see, for he was looking forward to a city whose foundations, whose designer of those foundations and builder is God. You say, a city? If you know the Bible, you might say, well, I don't remember Abraham ever building a city. He died without a city. What are you talking about the city? You know, what the author of Hebrews is referring to is the city of the kingdom of God. We turn slightly forward to chapter 12 of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews explains further just what he's referring to, this promise of the future. Having listed more faithful heroes of the faith, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We find here that Abraham may not have known it fully at the time as he was going forward, but he was the one that was laying the foundation for the eternal king to usher in true peace with God. That's a pretty amazing city, indeed. But it might not have seemed like it at the time. There was certainly a lot of reason for Abraham to doubt. I can imagine conversations with his friends as people said, Abraham, where are you going? What do you mean that God's going to build a city using you? You crazy? Maybe you should come with me, and I have some friends who can help you. They have a nice padded walled room that will keep you safe for a little while, Abraham. But he went forward. Thinking back as the semester was beginning to approach about this area right here where we're standing, this part of campus wasn't part of campus not all that long ago. And for those of you that are from St. Charles, you may remember that it certainly wasn't anything as beautiful as this building here and the other beautiful buildings that surround it. It was a trailer park and some old rundown businesses. But growing up in St. Charles, I remember always thinking they looked kind of interesting. I like just the charm of all the different buildings. They maybe didn't have many people apply the word charm to them, but they had their own unique character. And I remember especially liking a fixture that wasn't far from here. It may have even actually been within this building, which was an outdoor movie theater. It had been closed for quite a while, but I remember seeing it and always hoping someone would open it back up. But it didn't get reopened. It got torn down so we could build this facility. I remember when that started feeling sort of sad, feeling sad to see something that I had valued and not really, I can't tell you a good reason why, but I was just used to it. Seeing that torn down, wondering what would come next. It was painful to see it go. It's painful when we see things change, and yet Yet had somehow we been able to stop the building so that we could save that, we would have missed out on something far more wonderful. We wouldn't be able to be here, standing here today in this beautiful Lindenwood Theater. Oftentimes that's how it is for us. I think when we start to get nervous because of the uncertainty of what lies ahead to us, we find ourselves grasping for the things that we know, often things that are fine, there's nothing wrong with them, and yet God has better promises ahead for us. He had better promises for Abraham. But it's so easy to become fixed on the short term and to allow that to eat at us and to make us nervous. It's easy to look at the next paper deadline and allow it to discourage us, and yet if we focus on where we've come from and the fact that we've been placed here, given this opportunity to access all kinds of wonderful knowledge and wisdom and friendships, community, we start to see that God has better promises ahead for us. It doesn't mean that we're always going to walk perfectly with certainty. Abraham surely didn't. If we read his full story, we know he didn't. There were times he would get confused. But God allows us to get back up. He reaches down his hand and picks us back up when we stumble, and allows us to start walking in the way that he's called us again. When I was here as a Lindenwood student, I prided myself on being one of the guys that came in knowing what major I wanted, knowing where I was headed, and not being one of those people that's undecided, one of those people that keeps changing majors and being uncertain about what the future had. It didn't quite work out how I'd hoped. I got partway through my time here at Lindenwood, and I had a wonderful major. It was a fine major, but it wasn't the one that God had called me to, and I started to realize that I needed to change. It was scary. It's scary to change. It's scary when people say, "Are you sure about this? Is this really a good idea to change?" But when we start to realize where God has set before us, we can go forward with confidence. Not our own confidence, not our own power, but in the power of His Spirit. By my own power, changing would have been too scary. Jumping from something that seemed like a certainty to something that seemed less certain would have been far too fearful to do. So how does each of us move forward today? How do we move forward with the things that lie ahead of us when we feel uncertain? We have to trust that when we run with confidence, following the author and perfecter of our faith who has run before us. That He stands at the finish line waiting for us. That He's gone before us so He knows exactly what we go through. And that He's called all these faithful saints before us as well, that as they have run, we can be encouraged by their walk. We can run with confidence that when we trust in God and we build the foundation of our time here at Lindenwood, the foundation of our lives on God's promises, that even when we falter, even when we stumble, that God picks us up and will make good of our trust in Him. The list of the people that the author of Hebrews gives us is full of people who made all kinds of stupid mistakes. Stumbled multiple times trying to follow what God had called them to. Yet God picked them back up and enabled them to run. He guides our lives when we do that into new territories. And as we see, we can be confident in those territories through the reading of His Word. We heard from Proverbs earlier the foundation that we're provided when we trust in God's Word. And ultimately, we find that in Him, He has completed the race already. So whatever we might do, both in the times in which we feel certain and confident and joyful, and in the times we're fearful and scared and say, "God, I don't know where I'm going," we know that He is there with us. All He does is call us to turn to Him, to put our trust in Jesus for our faith, that He will give us that completed race that He has done, so that we can simply task ourselves with what He has called us to do and not worry about our shortcomings. Knowing His completed work, we can truly trust and feel confident in the challenges ahead of us. We can be excited about the challenges ahead of us because we know that the God who was faithful to Abraham, the God who enabled this flawed, broken man to do great things, will also take us, enable us to do great things by the power of His Spirit. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you, the God of angel armies, of all the angelic host, is with us today. It's with each of us. That as we go into this new semester, that we can move forward with the confidence that you will protect us, that you will continue to guide us. And even when we feel uncertain, that we can look forward, looking straight towards you, and know that you will continue to pick us up when we fall and enable us to do great things by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.